Okay, good morning, everyone. I'd like to call this meeting to order November 30th, 10 a.m. And welcome to the members of the public that we have participating in the office today. And we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Yeah,
roll call, please.
Director Tychowski.
Present.
Director Mora is absent. And Director Armstrong.
Here.
Director Edwards.
Here.
Director Swan.
Here.
Thank you. And we will start with public comment. Our members of the public are appreciated for taking the time to attend this meeting and provide comments on matters of district business. Public comments are subject to a 3-minute time limit, 10 minutes on an individual topic. Although no action can be taken on items not listed on the agenda, please know that you're listening carefully to your comments. And this is also for members of the public that might be online. So please call in or text any messages you have. Chat. Use the chat option for any messages you'd like us to say out loud. Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I have two questions, two different topics. My first question is, when is the board of directors going to agendize reconsideration the creation of the Community Facilities District, also known as Melrose Special Tax? And what I'm asking is, when will it be scheduled as an action item for the board to consider revoking all of their actions associated with creating the Melrose District?
I believe it will be an action item on the December agenda.
We've got to get through some legal and procedure review with the county. We're still working through that. So I can't recommend the specific action at this time, but we're working on it. We're working through it.
I don't believe there's any impediment with the county side of this equation, so I'm going to ask again of the chair, when are the board of directors going to commit to putting this on a public meeting for the purpose of an action item to revoke all the actions you took this last summer in creating the Community Facilities District and the Melrose District? Or if you're not going to commit to a date to dime today, direct staff as to when he's going to get an answer from the county so that it can be notified to the community sooner rather than later.
I'm not going to comment today on an action item that we might take in the future because that would be incorrect. I can't tell you how we're going to vote on something.
I didn't say how you're going to vote on it. I'm just
you
asking for a commitment
to
when
rescind.
You're going to put it on the agenda.
You said action to rescind, and that I'm not going to comment on. As soon as staff knows when it will be on the agenda, we will post it. Plenty of advance for the public.
But it is the intent of the board to put it back on as an action for the purpose of the option of revoking all of your decisions.
It'll be put on the agenda as an action item, and we will go we'll listen like we're supposed to staff recommendations, public comments, and then we will make any decisions we may choose to make any changes.
Okay, so you are committing to the fact that it's an option to revoke it. Okay, second question. When you're going to agendize as an action item, consideration of revoking your decision and creating the mitigation fee.
Talking about the development impact fee. That's
all part of.
It's the same thing, Mr. Thornton. I think we're taking your public comment. We're hearing it. We're working through the details. We don't know. This is it's an item that has to be taken up by the county board of supervisors, not the district.
I'm going to interrupt you. First off, these are the elected officials. They're the ones that I need response from. Secondly,
There's no response during public comment, Mark, and you know that. You've been on the Board of Supervisors.
Oh, yes, there is under public comment. There's no action under public comment. That's the only difference.
But there's
and what I'm asking for is just a commitment to you're going to put on the agenda consideration of rescinding the mitigation development fee. The county has nothing to do with this. This was a board decision to create this development fee. I want to know if the board's going to put that that item back on an agenda in the future to revoke it. That's all I'm asking. And I'm not saying, how are you going to vote on it? I'm just saying, are you going to put it on? Not as a discussion item, but as an action.
Thank you.
That's what I'm asking.
Thank you for your comment. I don't have to. That's all I'm going to say. Thank you for your comment.
So right now, you're not committed to putting the mitigation feedback on the agenda.
We cannot commit to anything during this
public discussion. Yes, you can.
No, we can't.
You're not taking action. You're making
a decision. Because we would have to take a vote.
No, you're not. Okay, then I'm asking for board direction. I'm asking for board direction. When will you put it on the agenda?
Thank you for your comment.
I'm going to point out something procedurally. 2 weeks ago, when you had your public workshop, you said it was a discussion workshop. On two of the agenda items, staff asked for staff direction from the board. So there is a gray area.
Do we have any other comments from the members that are present today? Any comments?
Thank you. Anybody want to speak directly? Anybody that's online want to make any comments directly by voice? Unmute yourself and comment. So many complex things at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll close public comment and go into item two.
I'm not sure. Under public comment, we did receive an email message. Okay. I'm not sure whether, because this message is partially outside of the agenda item topic, but partially within it, I'm going to go ahead and take the opportunity to read this now. It was asked that it be read. Text to be read. This is from the general manager, Joe Powell of the Pine Mountain Lake Association. Text to be read. The GCSD general manager and board president have stated that the GCSD CFD tax would be on the agenda for your December 14th GCSD meeting, but it was not clear if it would be phrased as an action item or just for discussion. The PMLA Board of Directors request the GCSD board to specifically add an item to revoke or amend the GCSD Belarus CFD tax to remove the sections related to single-family residential properties. As for the agenda item before you today, I am in support of development in our community as long as GCSD can support the future water needs of all current properties within the district first. Given the current and projected California drought, has GCSD conducted a study and analysis to determine if there will be enough water for all current ratepayers in the future? Is GCSD prepared for water rationing if the drought continues? I do not believe it is prudent to annex more property into the district if you cannot provide a fact-based analysis by an expert stating that the district can sustain the new development in addition to the current unimproved lots within the district. Current district ratepayers should be assured that they will have water service now and in the future. Thank you, Joe Powell, General Manager, Pine Mountain Lake Association. Most of that will be addressed in the discussion for the action item, the second paragraph.
Does it close it or do you want to comment on?
I think you called for comment, and that's the comment I don't believe.
I don't have it.
Okay. We're going to close public comment and open the discussion item number two. Adoption of a resolution accepting the Airport Estate's water improvement and easement grant deed.
So I'm going to get back to normal size real quick here. That's interesting. So this item has been before the board a couple of times prior. The agenda submittal details the various agreements that have been entered into. We have the project components here, and Rex Pemberton and Jason Johansson. We also have online Alfonso Manrique, our district engineer, that is available if there are any questions related to this. And so this started back some time ago when the Mid Valley Aviation proposed the subdivision on these parcels. The parcel map is included in your packet, the subdivision map. The project was initially approved with well and septic system. It was subsequently requested to connect to the water system. As you know, the connection to the water system requires some analysis and some determinations by the district engineer. And also because of the location of the project, it requires an action by LAFCO. And that would be adjusting the district boundaries to ultimately encompass the project. So it's a separate action by LAFCO. So since the time that the project initially started, the developers came in and entered into a preliminary funding agreement, which sets up a deposit so that all the costs associated with the project, all of the staff time, all the legal time, all the engineering time is covered by the deposit. And that we conduct an analysis to determine if there's adequate water supply and adequate water infrastructure to be able to connect the project. That's the first thing that's done. So after that was completed, after the analysis of whether the system could supply the project, the project moved into what's called the plan check and construction inspection agreement that was approved by the board. Prior to that, we had the board had considered and approved an annexation agreement. If they could meet all of the conditions for construction, those criteria. The infrastructure was basically the development of service connections on an existing main that was in place already. So there were no specific main extensions required or additional improvements. The booster system at the site has more than adequate pumping capacity to be able to provide the water service necessary. And assuming and understanding that each of those new homes, once they're built, will require fire sprinkler systems, that capacity was taken into consideration. So the project proponents designed the infrastructure that was approved by our district engineer. They constructed the improvements, dedicated the easements, and provided the documentation so we can enter it into our fixed assets, and also a check for a warranty bond for a guarantee that the system will function for a year. And if there's any problems with it, then that money's there to make any repairs or anything else. So all of those conditions were met. They have completed the construction under our inspection. They provided the map, they provided the letter of dedication and the cost of the improvements. So we have everything that we need in the plan check and inspection agreement to accept that infrastructure. Basically, when we accept the infrastructure, then a warranty period starts. They've also got an authorization, a temporary authorization by the LAFCO executive officer to receive water service up until the time that the annexation process is complete. So once the municipal service review for the district is completed and approved by LAFCO, then the LAFCO process can start. They basically have that on hold until the municipal service review is completed. So that's pretty much about it. We've got, if there are any questions, we've got district engineer, we've got project proponents. And at this time, the agreement that we entered into with the plan check and inspection of the system is what sets the conditions for the action that we're taking today. And they have met those conditions for that acceptance.
I have a small question. There's a couple of different places in the documentation where reference is made to the fact that the annexation must be completed in one year of October 2020, which obviously hasn't happened. Do we have anything in writing from LAFCO extending that period? I mean, I can't really see what's screwy, but it just seems like we're not in compliance at this point.
I'm going to go back to the that's the size of the document. I got to get to the resolution. Sorry, I'm not going to scroll through this thing. In the resolution, they have to complete the conditions for annexation. That would also require that if there is that prior to receiving any water service, they would need to. That's not the right one. Let me get to it.
The date you're talking about, Bob, is October 8th, 2020.
Yeah, I mean, it just appears. It seems that's something that LAFCO had made as a requirement for granting the out of bond.
Right. Okay. So, item number 5 on the resolution, Bob, is the staff's authorized to set meters to serve the project once all outstanding plan check and inspection and advanced funding agreement fees have been paid and all other project conditions are satisfied. So there can't be any meters set, we can accept it. We just can't set any meters until we either have the temporary authorization from LAFCO extended or the annexation completed.
Right, it's the temporary. Right. Do we have any, I understand why the delay is happening because of the MSR not being done yet, but do we have anything from LAFCO that says, okay, your temporary out of boundary service agreement is extended until we get around to finishing the MSR?
No.
Yeah. Does that expose us to anything?
It doesn't expose us. It just no water meters can be set, no building permits can be pulled. We would own the infrastructure. We just can't provide service to anyone until they would get that extended through LAFCO. So the action is accepting the dedication of the infrastructure.
We've been on this infrastructure that we can't do anything with.
It lands on them to have to go.
It didn't cost us anything.
Okay. So, excellent question.
There's so many agencies involved in this.
Any other director comments?
Do we have any idea when LAFCO will complete the MSR?
Yeah, that's my question. I had another conversation with them. It likely will be after that. They had initially thought that January was going to be the date they were going to be able to incorporate comments and get a draft back for review. So, I mean, their January meeting would be the earliest. In all likelihood, it could be February. For the for the MSR to be completed, and then from there it's a matter of going through the actual annexation process.
Okay, thank you.
The other thing obviously is we want to talk about the call of comments. We have a drought plan. We have an ordinance that pertains to that, and unless Hitachi goes dry, we have enough water, I would think. I mean, have we got an analysis of that and the impact of this on our water supply?
The water supply calculations, and Alfonso, I'm not sure if you're engaged and listening and participating in it, but I'm going to state the calculations that. The places where that calculation is done, it's done in the urban water management plan, it's done in the drought contingency plan, and it's done in the water master plans. So they look at not only all of your existing lots, but you also look at what you know as far as current and future projects that have been submitted or in planning process, plus based on the zoning of existing properties that are vacant. So you look at that whole component. So in our case, that has been taken into consideration in the calculation and all of those documents.
Okay, no, I'm sure it has something that concerns me.
Alfonso.
Correct. You're correct, Peter. I think all those analyses were contained in the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan that was recently adopted by the board. So that adequate water supply, obviously, the drought conditions may trigger some contingency plan. And that's also included, drought contingency plan that is also included on that 2020 Urban Water Management Plan. But the I think the adequacy of supply is there for these 9 lots.
So one of the basis of the questions there, I believe, were, are we overcommitting our resources? Have we done the analysis, the technical analysis, to make sure that we have adequate supply to serve this? And the answer is yes. The other thing that's really relevant to this discussion that extends beyond the water service is planning for the future of services. The reason that we have connection capacity fees, development impact fees, and the discussion about the community facilities district is to look forward at what the potential impact is of services in the future, and making sure that we've adequately planned our financial future and the condition of the services so that there is no reduction in services. And water, it's fairly simple. If we overcommit and we get to the point where we didn't calculate in the future demand, and we did not build in financially within the connection capacity fees the money to be able to expand main sizes, expand treatment plant capacity, and expand tank storage and all that in the future, what happens is you get to the point that your tanks run dry, or somebody's fire sprinkler system comes on and there's not adequate pressure, you run a fire hydrant and you don't have adequate water flow. So you have to plan many years into the future. Now maybe you don't do adequate planning and you get out there and all of a sudden it's, oh crap, we don't have any capacity left. We're going to have to upsize these mains. If you haven't thought about it and planned it for the future and built that into your connection capacity fees and development impact fees, existing ratepayers are going to be paying that cost in the future. That's a significant statement, because it's for us to shut off any new connections because we haven't been able to build the capacity in the future for expansion, it's logical to think that areas directly adjacent to the district and around us are going to be requesting to annex. So you build in a fee schedule so that when and if they do ask to annex, they know exactly what it's going to cost to contribute to the system so that you expand the system so that there's no impact, either in fire response, park facilities, water and sewer. In this case, it's water is the main thing. And we are in the process of updating our master plan and our connection capacity fees for water to make sure that those are adequate to address those costs in the future. And that's how you spread that cost out and make sure that that existing don't pay the cost of future demand. So in this particular case, we've got the adequate capacity as it exists. We're going to be, our master plan contemplates expanding capacity in the future, not in the treatment plants for the most part, but in the in some of the water mains and in this location would be increased in the future. But that would be a future project when the demand occurs for that. So that's our future planning exercise.
Right. That's very good. I'm just trying to think in terms of trying to make a response of some sort. We don't have to respond, just in terms of addressing. So we could, so at the moment, what we would do is refer them to the Urban Water Management Fund, probably.
Yes. Yeah,
that's the most recently updated thing. Is what I guess my point, I don't think I articulated my question very well. In the process, there's a lot of paperwork generated on this project. Is there any specific document that is part of the engineering analysis that says this is going to have, you know, 0.1% in, you know, increase in usage, or which is well within our expected boundaries? It doesn't get anywhere near our contract with HHG for how much water we can take, blah, blah, blah. I mean, is there anything associated specifically with this project that you can just point at and say, here, we did this analysis?
For the number of lots here, the calculation
is just
fairly simple. Project. That's done in the feasibility letter in the very beginning. Just making it before they even go into designing the project or contemplating annexation, they get a response from the district, which is generated by the district engineer that says there's adequate supply.
Available. Okay, so I mean that if we have that, that's the answer. It's here it is.
Right.
Good. That's all.
Right. It's contained within those other documents in general, and then specific to the project in just a simple response.
Thank you.
No, it addresses those questions specifically. The drought, the drought part of it, is there the district prepared for water rationing if the drought continues? It just really just kind of depends on what the it's not going to be as much us being out of water supply as it is the state mandating something. However, if we ever did get into a situation where we looked ahead and could see, hey, we're going to run out of water supply, I think our weak link would be in Pine Mountain Lake, in the ability of our alternate water system to be able to draw water from a good location in the lake that doesn't have a high black bacteria count and is treatable. And that's the main concern. As the lake level goes down, that system needs to be improved to extend further into the lake during the times that we're off of the tunnel or on the alternate point. So we do have a drought contingency plan, right? The water conservation plan for drought and all that. And we're always a day away from implementing it. It seems like, you know, just depending on
when we went through this in 2015.
Yeah.
I know we have
Right.
And it was all, as you say, it was all driven by the state mandate. You never, I mean, tunnel was still full of water. Mm-hmm. It's just that we were required to keep those usage.
Which is typically irrigation usage is where the maximum amount of water conservation occurs. You know, many times most people have upgraded their facilities. Certainly any new homes built have to meet the standard for water conservation. And so it's just the extent of new landscaping typically.
Okay. Any other comments from the board? Okay, we'll open public comments on this.
I was just looking at Nancy because she's.
Oh.
Okay. Thank you.
Open public comments.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You guys have done a great job. You've answered most of my questions through the board discussions, and I appreciate that. I'm finding that clarity in communications and being transparent is wonderful information for all of us, so we can all communicate well and proceed forward. But you guys might have missed a memo. It was in the San Francisco Chronicle. San Francisco has declared a water short. They're asking all of their agencies and municipalities to cut 5-14% of their overall use. With that in mind, eight lots along the airport estates, as you're calling it, is not that much of an overall impact. But when we've had our discussions over the last few months or the last year, and we're talking about more than 200 new faucets to be installed or services, toilets and showers and everything, with Yosemite Yonder and this new development there, I realize we're in the process of moving forward. I'm just not sure that you guys have taken into consideration, or maybe you missed the memo. Maybe they didn't send it to us, but it talks in the San Francisco Chronicle just dated a week ago that they talked to all of their Bay Area facilities that they provide water out of it for all the drainage to reduce their current usage, not what their planned future use was or needs, but to reduce their current usage. And I realized that this operation and this singular project with only 8 lots is not going to be that much more. It's not until in the future that this is even happening. It's not happening right now. The whole drought situation may mitigate itself and it may be a non-issue. But I would just, as a public comment, I would bring to your attention that it's well enough known. It's been in the San Francisco Chronicle that they're asking all of the municipalities in the Bay Area to reduce their water current usage from 5% to 14%. Thank you.
Any other public comments?
I have some questions because I need some clarification. I believe all directly. And by the way, my name is Mark Thornton. I apologize I didn't say that in the public comment. I know I don't have to, but I don't want to be a mysterious person. Mr. Camp, I'm going to direct the questions to you because the technical, I don't think the chair can answer. My first question is, Alfonso said 9, but I believe it's just 8 months.
Correct. Right.
And secondly, there's constant reference to annexation. So I need some clarity. Are the 8 lots physically outside of the current GCSD jurisdictional line?
They are.
So they physically are outside of the jurisdiction of the Groveland Community Services District.
Correct.
Second question, are the 8 lots physically outside of the existing Hetch Hetchy water contract boundary?
No.
So they're within that boundary.
Correct.
Is it possible to, in future meetings, have displayed on the walls in here both the Hetch Hetchy contract line as well as the GCSD jurisdictional line? Just in here. I mean, just so the public can see the maps.
Yes.
I see part of it, I think, is up there on.
Yeah, there. I mean, I learned recently from a GIS person, Mark, that even that, the pinstripe tape line can take up a few properties like that. So, and people are very, you know, very concerned about where these lines lie. So we will be adding it. We've got a GIS open architecture display system that we can actually show it go down to the parcel level.
So let me interrupt you then. Is there at the county surveyors or at the county recorder's office a map of both those items that is clear as to where that line goes? And I'm talking both the GCSD jurisdictional boundary as well as the Hetch Hetchy ultimate contract boundary.
Yes, on the district boundary. On the contract boundary, I'm looking to Jennifer just because she's been involved with the district a little bit longer. I'm not absolutely certain, Mark. I think it's I think it's coterminous with the sphere of influence, but it's a good time.
Don't bring that phrase up because that's kind of another kettle of worms, if you will. But my recollection was that the Hetchy contract line encompassed a portion of the Long Oak Ranch, but not all of it. So I assume the 8 lots were within the Hetchy ultimate contract line. I think it's critical, in my opinion, for really educating the public up here, that these maps be displayed in such a way and at such location that people can avail themselves to it. And if it's, I think what I'll do is just make an open public records request to you that I would like to get a copy of the Hetchy, of the official Hetchy contract boundary line, because I'm very curious as to the maximum area that San Francisco said Groveland could deliver water to. That's a huge area of vacant lots, and it's not being, in my opinion, factored in like it needs to be regarding long-range planning. Okay, the next question is, and I'm sorry, I'm going to go go beyond your 3-minute thing, but this is a complex topic and I have multiple reasons why I'm asking these things. My next question is, do you have here that you can also post the community facilities district mellow roost lines? Currently, as I understand it, and based on the map that I've looked at, it's the same as the GCSD jurisdictional line. Is that correct? Is your understanding of that?
The boundary of a future annexation area.
Yes. Which is called the community facilities district. That line is one and the same as the GCSD line.
Correct.
So a question comes to mind regarding the language of your adopted resolution. Why is there no reference in here, since currently the board's position is they created this annexation zone area, they're standing by their decision, at least for now. Why is there no reference in here that the 8 lots are being annexed into the CFD as well as being annexed into the GCSD? It's two different issues. It's two different maps. It's two different legal things. Why are the 8 lots exempt from being annexed into the community facilities district pursuant to the map that was promoted in, or first proposed in June and adopted in July?
They will be.
But it's not in the resolution. Why is it not in the resolution?
Because the annexation is not yet complete.
Well,
when we can't affect
your annexation in the district is not complete, Mr. Campos. So there should be a whereas that this also basically, I like this item continued to your December meeting, not approved today, because at your December meeting, my question on the CFD may be cleared up when hopefully at least 3 board members decide it's time to get rid of this mellow roost overlay. But if you're not getting rid of it, your resolution today should already incorporate it, or it appears that there's some sort of a double standard. Any annexation proposal should include annexation into the CFD as long as it still exists. And that, to me, it's a technical issue, but I believe this resolution is incomplete, and I don't believe you should take action. Sorry. To the board members, I don't believe you should take action maybe because that's a technical defect that's significant, especially because you're finally becoming aware of how provocative your CFD creation was.
I think we're a little off topic now.
Not either, because it's part of your resolution, sir.
Item number 5 is a project condition. Until the property is annexed in, the boundary of the community facilities district can't be amended. We can't amend the community facilities district.
Yes.
Out. So that would be taken up as it's a project condition. The community facilities district was born with the intention, and every document supporting it is that each new unit built, each new demand on services will annex in or have the option to annex in.
Okay, I'm just giving you my opinion. So I'm not a lawyer. My opinion is it should be in the resolution. Okay. If you guys want to do what you want to do, fine. I'm going to go back now to, I think it was a November 2nd staff report, and it was in, I believe, your November, whatever it was, public workshop on your budget. And you had a long paragraph in there. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but if you might remember, the title was Airport Estates Closeout and GCSD Acceptance of Infrastructure Development Funding. You remember that paragraph?
I don't. I'd have to have it in front of me, but you can go ahead and.
Well,
absolutely.
Be patient. We are working with the Airport Estates Development Team to finalize the documentation for district acceptance of the infrastructure they install as part of the residential development project consisting of 8 new lots. Paragraph goes on. But it was interesting that later in the paragraph, at that time, it said the acceptance should be before the board of directors by the December regular board meeting. So I'm kind of personally upset that you're holding a special meeting to do it November 30th when it should have just been on your regular meeting next 2 weeks from now. It goes on to say the property still needs to go through the annexation process into GCSD boundaries once LAFCO has completed and adopted the municipal services review for the district that you have vetted earlier in your discussion. I'm unalterably opposed any more annexations into the district. I'm unalterably opposed to extending water beyond the existing GCSD jurisdictional line, notwithstanding the Hetch Hetchy contract line. You have a Hetchy contract that capped our water, our maximum water usage after 2019. You have no water to sell. GCSD does not own water. You buy water from Hetchy, you buy water from TID. So from this point on, every new straw that's put into our water is not a bigger expanded bowl. You're taking water away from every existing resident up here because we are capped in our maximum annual usage. The contract is up in 2034. I dare say San Francisco is not going to give this area more water. We're going to say you will live within the cap we've established for the community. I just want you to understand you have a vacant lot inventory within the existing boundaries of GCSD that you have to account for. Your master plan's not done. Your updates aren't complete. You're operating, I don't want to use metaphors, but it concerns me that there is just no consideration that every time you add a new project inside the boundaries, we're sharing the same amount of water. And now you're advocating piecemealing in the Long Gulch project, what the community said 15 years ago. They were upset with Long Gulch unless things were done. Buried in your budget report was more annexation proposals for the Long Gulch properties. I'm unalterably opposed to doing any of that until there is great clarity in this community that we have only a certain amount of water, and that's all we've got, and there's nothing on the horizon that looks like we're ever going to. Hetchy is a finite and dwindling water supply. I'm going to say that again. I want it to sink in. Hetchy is a finite and dwindling water supply. You have had, the district has had, I believe, for at least 10 years now, a conservation, year-round conservation message. Why should I conserve water if I'm conserving it to facilitate out of county, out of state, who knows where developers? I'm more sympathetic for the existing residential people and the existing vacant lot inventory within the existing jurisdictional boundaries.
Mr.
LAFCO is going to find out loud and clear that they are making decisions without fully understanding we have a limited water supply up here. And for LAFCO to have even granted a temporary thing, which is buried, in, I think, in your resolution.
Mr. Thornton, your time, I'm sorry, sir, your time has exceeded greatly. But we're not going to allow any more comments at this time.
Well, you know, it's interesting you have a one-item agenda, and yet you want to have a time
curtailment
on public
input. You are criticizing everything this board and district has done.
Not everything, but
well,
I'm criticizing the things.
You're on a roll, but that is not, these are public comments on this specific item. You stated your comments. We know exactly how you feel about this. Your turn is over, and I'm going to open the floor to the next person who would like to speak.
All right, Madam Chair, I accept your decree, but I'm just going to tell you that this is an open.
Thank you for your comment.
All right, a few comments.
Yes.
Matt, just listening to you, thank you for your comments. So we're aware of what you feel and how you feel as we're annexing into the GCSD board boundaries. We're not out-of-state developers. We live right here in Groveland. We live right here on the airport. We've lived here for over 13 years, and we're not funded from out-of-state. This is out of Jason and our pocket. We've worked tirelessly, effortlessly to make this project happen, right? We've paid all our fees, we've gone through all the steps associated with GCSD and the county and LAFCO, and we can only operate as fast as they can operate. So we're doing everything in our due diligence, and Alfonso's on the line, who has done a complete study on the impact these 8 lots will have, and we've gone through all of the checklists in relation to that, and we've gone through that already, and that documentation, Pete, right, is available, so we can show you that. But it's not going to have influence. In relation to the drought is an unknown unknown. We could have a fantastic snow year this year, right? And that drought could be broken. We as developers don't have control over that. right? GCSD doesn't have control over that. Yes, we can plan for the future. Yes, we need to plan for the future. But at the same time, we've done that in our initial reports that Alfonso helped us with. Right? 2034 plan. It's 2021. And that's all I have to say. Scott, I really appreciate you. If we can keep moving forward with this project, we've tried really hard to make sure that we're jumping through all the right hoops. This is 8 lots. It brings more business to you, brings more business to the GCSD district, to the county, and we see this as a win-win for everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And again, I'll follow Mark's lead. I did introduce myself. You guys, many of you know me already. My name's Tom Atkin. I'm here as an individual that lives inside the district to make comments and try to help make good decisions for our community. I also represent and will report back to my group of people that live in the Big Creek area, so part of the Big Creek homeowners. And you guys are getting beat up because you're here. Your 8 lots is a minuscule portion of what all of us that have lived here for some of us 50 plus years to try to make sure that our area is taken care of. The comment about developers from out of the area, I apologize for all of us. That was not intended for you. We know who you are. We know where you live. We know what your development is. We know that you're directly connected by physical land barriers, and you're our neighbors.
Appreciate
we that. Appreciate you. Thank you. But there are developments that are going on that you're well aware of, that are the developers are out of Utah and the landowners from Las Gatas. So those people may or may not have the best interest of our overall community. We're not a community of 40 to 50,000 people. We're 4,000 plus or minus. And so we have a finite amount of water available. So we're concerned. So if we're concerned, please don't take it personal. Although how could you not? Because it's your development that we're speaking of here today. But it's the bigger picture for all of us that live inside the district and adjacent to the district that we're concerned about. So please know that this is not directed at you or your development. You're very close. 8 faucets and 8 showers is not that much. But when you talk about another developer that is from out of the area, from Utah, and a landowner from Las Gatas, that are going to be adding 200 toilets, 200 showers, that's a significant amount of water.
Sure.
Yours, minute, but still attached. So sure. Thank you for what you guys do and your due diligence. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
I'm Jason Johansson. Rex is a business partner on this airport safety fund. I want to say thank you for your consideration and working with you guys on this. Mark, I want to say thank you for your comments. I really appreciate it. I agree with almost everything you have to say. I really do. And one little comment I have to say is we got a lot of pushback when we first did this development because we were outside the district. And everybody was saying, well, you're going to receive the services from the ambulance and fire truck, and you're not going to be paying into it. And so this is our response is, well, let's join into it. Let's, even though we're approved for wells, we went through all that process. Now we're bringing hopefully more ratepayers, which I think helps out in the long term. Put all the infrastructure in. We pay for all this. This doesn't do us a whole lot of good if personally. All of our lots are sold at this point. So this is just us making good on what we tried to do to address the concerns of people that said, we don't want you using the services that we're going to have to provide if you're not part of this paying the fees. So that's kind of what we're trying to wrap up here. And I hope that we've done everything that we can on our part to get through this process. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay, any other members of the public online, Rachel?
No, we don't have any comments.
Okay.
The only thing I'd just like to say one more comment is
sure.
I was at my request that this meeting was scheduled. And because we couldn't get on the agenda for the previous meeting, we're trying to get this done much earlier. So I scheduled this, and it's because I have a deadline to travel. And so that's why this meeting was scheduled independently of the normal meeting.
You've directed a lot of comments at me, and I will not violate the district's protocols, but we can talk outside later. I'd be more than happy to talk to both of you, and I appreciate your comments. And Mr. Campbell, I would like to also formally request a copy of the Hetch Hetchy contract for water to the district.
Yeah, I'll send that to you, Mark.
Thank you, Nathan.
Okay, any other director comments? Yes, John.
Community Facilities District. I've been wanting this for a long time. And how are we going to pay for our fire department and infrastructure if we don't do this? We're not going to, it's wrong to charge the people extra money here in this district to facilitate other developments. And that's what it's about. That's all it's about. It's about paying for parks, paying for the fire department, which is severely, severely underfunded. We can't even save for our fire trucks. They're $1 million a piece right now, and we need to buy one. So I will never vote this down.
Point of order, you're off the agenda.
Let's stay
well
within the. We can't give opinions about something that's not on the agenda.
But I agree with, I think that we've done the work here, and I'm ready to vote.
Any other director comments? Okay, public comments closed. Directors,
I
will move that we adopt resolution number 39-2021. From the Board of Directors of the Global Community Services District, accepting the airport estate water improvement.
I'll second that motion.
I think me too.
I agree. Okay. Any other
comments? So it was moved by Director Swan, seconded by Director Pytkowski to approve resolution 39-2021.
May I comment on the motion now that's on the floor or not?
Yes. Thank you.
Now, I just want to reiterate again that.
We took public comment before the motion in this one. We,
okay. All right.
Go ahead. Thank you. I just want to say to the developers, my comment about out of county, out of area, out of state is in the context of my statement that you have other annexation proposals that are in your budget document that you presented some 2 weeks ago. But even if they are residents, I hope they've heard loud and clear my concern that we have a finite water supply. And I also think that I would like you to ask your lawyer if they shouldn't, if that resolution you're adopting shouldn't have also referenced that they would be annexed into an expanded CFP boundary. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other comments?
Okay, it was moved by Director Swan, seconded by Director Pytkowski to approve resolution 39-2021 to accept the airport estate water improvements and easements grant deed. I will now call for the vote. Director Pytkowski?
Yes.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Edwards?
Aye.
Director Swan?
Aye.
The motion passes 4 in favor, 1 absent.
Oh. She has to sign up.
Yeah, 10:45, she left.
Okay. Great, congratulations, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate that.
And I'd like to thank everybody who attended today. We appreciate your coming in to the meeting. I'd like to see faces on the other side of this table. And for all the people online that attended, thank you for attending. We do appreciate your attendance also. And we will now adjourn. Thank you, everybody.